Originality.
Origin.
My name is Nick Singh.
You.
Welcome to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh. And just know, originality is on the horizon. Let's go.
What's cooking, good lookins? It's Nick Sang. We are back with another episode of Autographs. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. If you're kicking it for the second, third, fifth, or lost count of amount of time, thanks for returning. I appreciate y'all. I'm starting to notice that I'm actually building a bit of a community with this, and I ought to stay consistent with it. So this is my public service announcement declaration that my hope is to start tending my direction back toward a weekly cadence with this podcast, and start sharing more often and doing a better job with it. I am looking for some help with it, by the way. So if you're somebody that listens to this, that understands the business behind great works of content, I would love to speak with you. So please reach out. If you know of anybody that could help me, I would love that too. Increasingly as I walk, you know what? That's a good place to start it. Today, I just wanted to have a conversation with you folks and talk about some lessons that I've been learning being here. And I'm gonna take the mic out here of the stand so I can be more free, but being here in quarantine over the past bit, and one of them has been this subtle realization of really a reflection of why I became an entrepreneur to begin with. So for those of you who don't know, quick short notes, I am an entrepreneur. I don't think I'm a really good one, I'm gonna be frank with you, but I'm in business for myself. I work for myself. I run a production house and we make content. So anything from videography for companies who want to make corporate videos to online advertisements, we have the capacity to do all of that. I don't really like it. Anyone who's close to me or knows me will kind of know that for me, it's kind of like a job and it's less of a purpose-driven venture, which has bothered me for many years. So I'm actually looking to shift out of that. But one of the lessons that I've learned during this time has been this reflection as to why I got into entrepreneurship. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because earlier on this episode, literally like 30 seconds ago, I just made an ask of if anybody knows out there that can help with the business behind this stuff, that'd be, you think, a good fit for somebody like me. I'd love to talk with them. Is because I've realized that through this reflection of why I got into entrepreneurship, I'm realizing that I wasn't really as drawn to being an entrepreneur as I was to just living a non-traditionalist life or a non-traditional life. And I look back in my journey, and the moment that I felt like that, everything clicked, because I started realizing, man, that's been the core energy of all of the great acts of my life, from meeting these cool individuals that I've had on the show and been blessed and privileged enough and fortunate enough to have met and had a hunt. It's been a blessing for me. But in addition to that, even anything I've done, quote unquote, entrepreneurially, or even in jobs, it's always been something that is along the lines of taking a non-traditional path toward doing that. So I've become in recent weeks a lot less tense around needing to be a businessman and really just respecting the fact that my energy toward being a businessman is really just the energy of actually wanting to just be a non-traditionalist. So as I'm gauging and experiencing that new identity, I'm finding less pressure to feel like I gotta be the entrepreneur and in business for myself, and more of a draw toward potential opportunities around me that have been sitting there for a minute that I haven't really been taking advantage of, because up until now I've been viewing myself as an individual that needs to be an entrepreneur, and it's been almost unconscious in a lot of ways. So that's been neat. Second big realization came from the homie John Henry. If you don't check out his stuff, I'd highly recommend it. I think his IG handle is John Henry Styles. It's spelled exactly how it sounds. He is a young entrepreneur. He's somebody who's undoubtedly has entrepreneur just running through his DNA. He'll be the first to tell you that. But I listened to an episode with him and a friend of mine named Anthony Frazier. Anthony Frazier, him and John go way back. He's on that same wavelength as John is. So again, if you haven't heard Anthony Frazier, I'd highly go recommend checking his stuff out. And Anthony Frazier is the one who delivered this content, actually. So that's where you might end up after the show. Anthony Frazier has this podcast called Just No Pressure. And he did an episode with John as of late or recently, and I listened to it. And one of the big takeaways that I got that I wanted to share here that I've been talking with my friends about, selective ones, is this concept of accepting yourself. You know, like Drake has this lyric and it runs through my head on the constant. It's like, I just wanted to tell you, accept yourself. You don't need no one else, accept yourself. If you end up needing some extra help, then I could help, you know. None of this greedy shit. I'm probably fucking it up. But that line where he goes, I just wanted to tell you, accept yourself. I've always thought of that. Just time and again, that lyric runs through my head on the constant. I think John is an example for me in my life, and Anthony, of individuals that do that. And one of the ways that it was revealed was through this neat concept of John's acceptance with his lack of organization. He mentioned on the show that he doesn't view himself as a very efficient individual. There's a lot of time wasted for him between tasks, and he knows that he could be more efficient and tighten up and be more calendar oriented and punctual and whatever the thing may be that leads to efficiency in business and in life. But over time, he's had the realization that that's just not how he operates. Instead, he takes this route that values his effectiveness over efficiency, which I really fuck with at this point in time, which says he's more about doing things in short bursts of energy and just getting it all done and cranking in that chunk of list versus needing to be that guy who doesn't go over the 15 minute meeting time slot. Obviously, he has to be punctual when he is. It's not a suggestion to, you get what I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say is that he was able to realize that all of this talk in common culture that like productivity is a result of being more efficient, and more efficient is a work of you getting tighter with your schedule, sticking to your deadlines, like finding time in your calendar, 15 minute block here for creative flow or 15 minute block here for this. It's like in my life, I felt immense pressure to be that way in order to get things done. And I miss it all the fucking time. Like my calendar's a mess, man. It's not a mess. I'm relatively organized, but it's not in a place of somebody who you would see as an efficient individual. So in that conversation he was having with, I call him Anthony, I call him Ant, but his name's Anthony. So Ant, John was accepting this idea that he's less focused on efficiency as he is on effectiveness, and he's still able to get a lot done. And if you don't know John, he's been a part of a venture that's raised $40 million for a venture capitalist fund. He's a real estate investor. He's a media personality. He's a ton of things. So this is an individual that I look up to in lots of ways. And I'm glad to know, but I realize, yo, you don't always have to take what people give you on a silver platter and say, yeah, this is the only way to do it. I know a friend of mine who's having a record month right now in the midst of all this craziness, who did 200K this month for the first time ever. I'm immensely proud of him. And this is a guy who's also somebody who values effectiveness over efficiency. He knows how he operates. He doesn't follow a calendar. He wakes up when he wants, but he just doesn't go to bed until he gets stuff done. He's never stressed. And I'm realizing in all of these micro examples around me, individuals that live differently than how we've been told to live in order to feel or be successful. And as I'm getting back to that, I'm watching the natural progression of my energy tend toward a more original and honest expression of who I am, which feels like it's a pocket where I should be in to grow. So this is not a suggestion to anybody listening this to become less punctual or less organized or less efficient. If that's how you operate, then run it. I also have friends that are not like John, who are very calendar oriented, who need things timed out and scheduled. If that's you, yo, lean the fuck in, go do it. But I saw some opportunity there for me to kind of tend to John's way of doing things and my other buddy's way of doing things. And it's been a big weight off my shoulders. And the reality is that as I look at my life objectively, I'm actually getting a lot more of the important stuff done. Another thing I'm learning, and then I'm going to get into a hilarious story for you folks, because I feel like I want to share it. It's just fun. It has nothing to do with lessons. It's just a good time. This idea of in life, I think that things that we know but we need reminders of, those are often some of the most important things. Because when you lose sight of that, when you miss that in your vision, in your planning, in your ambitions, you start to run a path without these things that begins over time to compound into an empty path. And I've experienced that, and I still do it. There's no perfect way, but one of those things that I'm bringing back in is, like, I think that what everybody wants in some context is just a great, great life. And there's been so many studies from the top universities around the world that suggest the key indicator of a great life is the quality of your relationships. I think it was Harvard recently, and don't quote me on that, but it was an Ivy League school in the US that released a study several months ago that I think it was one of the longest studies in happiness ever. And this is recent. And we all know that the biggest indicator of happiness, if you don't know it, statistically, the biggest indicator of happiness is the quality of your relationships. But these, this group of individuals from this Ivy League school tracked individuals for the longest period of time, and they tracked them to the point of over 50 years old. So I think that it was like a 20 or 40 year study or something like that. And they monitor their happiness over the course of their life. It was an incredible, incredible body of work. And what the research suggested was at the age of 50, for some reason it was this gap, and I'm probably going to mess up the saying of this. It wasn't, I'm not going to say it in the most accurate way, but I'm going to get the gist across because a few months ago I listened to this, is at the age of 50, that's the kind of benchmark of how many people do you have around you? How close are you with these individuals? How strong are these relationships? And how many are you walking into the years beyond fit? Like from the day you turn 50, the days that roll forward after that, how many of those relationships are you walking into? And the study suggests that the more people that you have good relationships with around you, the happier that individual is and that are still able to do that at 50. I'm 25. So I am already noticing the reality of relationship around me, and where it's so easy to lose touch with people that were once you were really close with because you went to school with them and you really love those people. And I am I get nervous at times when I listen to those statistics and I realize, yo, I'm doing a really poor job at keeping those at the forefront of my life. Because if I'm going to do all of this, if I'm going to have this ambition, if I'm going to really push hard in a direction, I have to make sure that I'm remembering that I'm doing this in some way because I believe this is going to give me a better life. It's going to give me a great life. Don't forget that at the core of all of this, all of your ambitions is that desire in some context, like whatever color you want to paint that sentence with, go do it. But it's this reach for a great life, and a great life is not black and white. It's not, it's colorful. And we can't forget the other colors that walk and involve themselves in that picture. And one of the biggest colors, according to these studies, are relationships. So what I've done is, and this is the first time I'm saying this publicly, I actually have friends that listen to this show, so now they'll kind of know what I'm up to, but it doesn't matter because it's not going to take away from the genuinity behind it. Every Monday I have time in my calendar. Kind of funny that this is like kind of bucking that recent point of being less efficient. I just found this is something I got to put in my calendar if I want to do it. But it's time to reach out to friends and family. And I have on that list the five love languages. So like the five love languages are physical touch, gifts, acts of service, quality time, and I forget the last one. Anyways, look it up. And then I also just, so I think about these individuals on the individual basis. I have a list of these like friends and family that I really want to stay close with. And I reach out to them and I try to do it in a way that adheres to their love language. And just be a good friend. Like that time is not about me. It's just about them. And I could tell you, this is the most fulfilling part of my day that day. And usually of my week. So I'm already noticing because I've gone through a period of my life where I've lost friends that I really didn't want to lose. And when I looked in the mirror after it happened, from friend group to friend group to friend group, I was the only constant. I was the only constant thing that was existing in those groups of friends. And I just have to say, I think this is my fault. I think that I do a bad job at this. So I'm gaining back a lot of those friendships. It feels like probably the biggest win amidst all these other cool wins that I'm having, and L's, but the wins too. So that's been incredibly fulfilling and a really lovely process that I just wanted everybody who listens to this to know. So don't forget that at the end of this, you're trying to optimize for a great, great life, and I hope that you find it. And don't forget about relationships in that process. That's my only kind of nudge that I'll give you there. But any other quality of a great life that you want to have, go do it. Now for the story, I might as well wrap this up with a little story. So I remember in high school, this has nothing to do with what I talked about before, by the way. I'm just telling y'all this for fun. It's a Sunday, and I'm just feeling the energy of a Sunday. We all know what that feels like. So I remember being in high school, and it was grade 11. So we were 16, 17. And there's this company in Canada, which is where I live, called S-Trip. It stands for Student Trip, S-Trip. So S-Trip organizes these student trips, and really it like kind of frames itself as like this kind of tour company, but all it is it's these adults who give a group of young 16 to 17 year olds legitimacy with their parents, and they just organize a really dope trip for a group of students. It's a party. There's no other way to explain it. So in grade 11, I contacted S-Trip. I was just like, I just had initiative. I've always had initiative like that. And I said, hey, I want to organize it this year for my school. And pretty much how it works is that all the schools in your area, in your city, in your town, in your freaking province, like where, or state, if you're from, they all go, like they all contact a company like S-Trip. So it's much more than just your school. You meet up with a ton of students from all these different schools that you didn't even hear about. So they were like, yep, sounds good. So in grade 11, they give you all these destinations you could go, but they also try to get everybody that they're planning a trip with and these other organizations outside S-Trip to go to one place. So it like is like the biggest party and everybody wants to go there. So they were at the time saying Quebec City, like Quebec City is that this year. So if you guys want to go to Quebec City, go. And it was like this 4-day trip. And I was like, sure. So I started telling everybody in my grade, hey, I'm organizing this S-Trip thing. And everybody was stoked. Like somebody had to do this because this was common knowledge that this happens every year in grade 11. The grade 11s go on some trip during spring break. And it's not like a grad trip. I organized that too in grade 12, my final year of high school. But it's like a precursor to that. So everybody was stoked. And then I'm getting signups. And at the time, Facebook was like the way to communicate with everybody. I don't think Instagram was even out yet. Or maybe it was, but it doesn't matter. Regardless, I'm getting signups. And how it works is like if you get a certain number of signups, you get your trip for free because you did all this free work. It's fair. Like you organized it. You have to get a lot of signups. So, and I told people that I'm like, yeah, I could do much. But everybody was fine because it's like, yeah, you're doing all this work. Like, sure, if you want to like just come for free after that, then yeah, that makes sense. But you have to get a certain. So I'm getting signups. And then this girl starts a different Facebook group in my grade. And she starts bucking my trend, my thing. I was like, I'm the organizer. And she's late to the game. 2-3 weeks after I freaking opened up my door of business saying she started a new ass Facebook group saying, I'm organizing a trip. I was like, what the fuck? I remember looking at my laptop and going, shit, I'm beat and I'm pissed. This is a, like, pretty girl. This is a pretty girl organizing. She's going to get more signups. All the guys are going to want to talk to her. Plus, she's already one of the popular girls. So she's just going to sign up all of her friends. And yeah, I'm like in that group, but it doesn't matter. I would go to her if I wasn't organizing this. So I get a Facebook message from her. She knows who she is. She's jokes. And she has a British accent. She's like, hey. And I read everything in a British accent when somebody has a British accent. She's like, hey, I didn't mean to stomp on your toes with the S-Trip. Can we organize it together? And this was like 5 minutes after she started that Facebook group and she knew it. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I don't have a choice. I'm either going to be out of business or I got to organize this trip with this girl. I'm making it worse than it is. It was awesome, man. So we ended up organizing the trip together. I think we took like 80% of our grade. We sold the shit out of that trip. And we went, we got fake IDs made in Quebec City in Canada. The drinking age is like 18 years old. So everybody in my grade, they all got fake IDs made. And then we just went ham. We got there and they had a litany of activities for our group to go do with all these other schools. Every single night it was a party. Like, and it wasn't just like a regular party. You're underage and they're bringing you to clubs because they rented out the club. This is how big this thing is. Every single night it's a new club, it's a new party, it's a new jam with all of these different students from, it's crazy, man. I'm telling you. And I had the most wild time when we got there. The girl I was organizing this trip with, we both sold so many tickets that both of us got our trips looked after. We got them comped. And I remember getting there and like I think that they did this on purpose. They just put the organizers' rooms next to each other. I'm assuming to just, if they needed to contact us, they just know that we're in the same vicinity, so it's fine. So I had my roommate, she had hers, and we had like this connecting door between our rooms. And I remember walking into this girl's room and I was like, okay, cool, we're here. We had just checked in. And I was pissed. Not only did I get snipped 2-3 weeks into the process, but she got like a room. She got like the penthouse room, man. And I was like, what the fuck? And she knew it too. She was laughing because we became such good homies over the course of that planning. So we were like friends at that point and everything was out there in the open. I was like, yo, you stole my trip. And it was all jokes and love. And I didn't really care, but it was just, it was hilarious, man. And I just, I got to make a whole entire episode in and of itself on S trip and the antics of that grade 11 trip. It was legend. I shouldn't do it, to be honest with you. I think some of the stuff we did was not entirely legal. Bah, am I allowed to say that? Bah. You know, something I reflect on is I don't think I could ever run for office. I think my brand is so messed up. I've tried too many things and embarrassed myself too many times and said too many screwed up things for like a leader in politics to have said. I don't stand a chance. Don't think so. Maybe somebody could scrub it if I ever want to run for office. Just a thought. Anyways, I love y'all. Welcome back to Autographs. My name is Nick Sang. If you guys fuck with this show, share it with somebody. I really want to grow this thing. And have them DM me or something saying that they signed. I don't know. You just do whatever you want to do. Share it wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. That whole conversation. Please, thank you. I love y'all. I'll see y'all soon next week. Peace.